Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Well, well, well. Here we are once again messing with Ouija boards. It seems, no matter where you are on this earth, people have stories of Ouija boards, demons, and all kinds of things coming through this board. Now, it is up to you whether you believe these stories or not. They are claimed to be true by those who sent them in, but, as always, like I said, it's up to you to decide whether you believe them or not. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be with a Ouija board or something else completely, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these creepy Ouija board stories that'll have you thinking twice before playing with that board. I would like to stay anonymous through this story. Just to catch you up to speed, back in 2018, me and my friend, let's call him James, were hanging out at a park near the college James went to. It was around this time I started to get a bad vibe. I felt like we were being watched. We were the only two people in the park, and so we decided to take our phones out and record ourselves and see if we can get anything on film in case we didn't see anything while searching around. Well, we did find something, and I felt it was demonic. Fast forward about 1 or 2 weeks, we got a hold of a Ouija board. I was the one who was barely touching the piece used to give answers. As the session progressed, I noticed that some demonic feelings were coming again. I asked the question, "Are you a demon?" They answered yes and started spelling out the letters Zozo, Z-O-Z-O. The planchette started to go back and forth slowly while gradually picking up speed. My entire body went cold and hot at the same time. Like, from my fingers to my biceps were ice cold, while the rest of my body felt like I just walked through fire. James suggested we end the session before anything bad happens. Seconds after this, the piece I was holding quickly moved to no and went back to spelling out the name, Z-O, Z-O. We finally were able to close the session, and eventually, we set the board on fire, which now I know is a dumb move. Now, as I write this, creepy things are happening through the night. Noises barely audible keep me up, along with figures darker than night standing in my room. Sometimes I don't feel comfortable enough to even lay down in my bed. I've been losing sleep as a result, and I'm having a hard time going about my day-to-day life. Most notably, however, is the fact that I never feel alone. It's always there, watching me. When I was in my early teens, I had a fascination with divination, the occult, and spiritualism. Basically, anything to offer some sort of proof that there is more than this reality than what we believe. This all started in the early 90s when I saw a Ouija board for sale in our local small-town grocery store. Needless to say, I bought it. I couldn't believe they actually sold these as games. Mind you, I lived in a small town and grew up disconnected from a lot of the pop culture staples of that area. I would play with the board often, mostly with my stepbrother, Dan, and my stepsister, Holly, when they came to visit during the summer months and over the holidays. Both of them were considerably younger than me being no older than 13 at the time. The board became an obsession of mine, even though over 95% of the time nothing would happen, or when it did move, we would receive short, nondescript messages. Then, on one cold winter day, this was about to change. My siblings and I retreated upstairs in an attempt to play the board. We lit the usual candles and killed the lights. After a few attempts to summon a spirit, the planchette started to move. This time, though, it felt different. It glided with ease around the board and answered simple yes or no questions with great finesse. It glided with ease around the board and answered simple yes and no questions with great finesse. In disbelief, we took our fingers off the planchette. The moment we did so, the flame on the candle began to shrink dramatically. We quickly placed our fingers back on the planchette and the flame immediately came back to life. When we asked, "Where in the room are you?" the pointer spelled out K-I-T-E. We sat there confused for a moment until we realized that I had a kite mounted on the ceiling above our heads. At this moment, the kite began to flutter as if there were a slight breeze. We lived in a log cabin that did not have central air. There were no fans running, so this was quite odd. We continued playing and I asked, "We'd like to know our spirit guide names." A very new age question as I look back. I then asked, "What is my guide's name?" The board spelled out, A-R-T-H-U-R. Dan asked for the name of his guide, and the board lettered out, B-R-E-T. And finally, Holly asked for hers, and the board replied, G-A-R-E-T-H. So, Arthur, Brett, and Gareth. We were all kind of shocked at the results and discontinued playing to go downstairs to tell my mother the information we'd just received. After doing so, she replied, "I don't know, look up the names in the dictionary." At the time, I thought this was pretty unhelpful advice, but reluctantly I did. A dictionary probably isn't the best resource for looking up names, but this was before the internet, so I grabbed the dictionary off the shelf and began flipping through the pages. Searching the name Brett came up with a few uninteresting results. Next, I look up Arthur. Not surprisingly, King Arthur, along with maybe a few other Arthurs, were in the list. I then proceeded to look up Gareth. When I did so, my jaw hit the floor. Gareth was King Arthur's nephew. I was completely dumbfounded. I knew at this point that the names we received probably weren't the actual names of our quote-unquote spirit guides. These were purposefully crafted to do something with the full awareness that we could or would look them up to draw a connection between the two. Now, before you go and assume my stepbrother and or sister pushed the planchette, keep this in mind. Dan has always had a learning disability. Even today, he still has difficulty spelling and using voice to text because of it. I am 100% confident he couldn't have moved it. I am also 100% confident that neither of them at the time was well-versed in the genealogy of Arthurian mythology. I have observed this with a skeptical point of view since that day. This remains as one of the few times the board actually moved, more or less provided us with legible, specific details. To this day, at the age of 39, I remain convinced that what we received was not from us, but from somewhere else. Something that I believe knew full well what my mother was going to tell me to look up. I'm a guy, and in this story, I was roughly around 13 years old. Me and my sister, I'll call her H, invited this boy over to do general preteen stuff. You know, making prank calls, telling stupid jokes, the usual. This boy invited K, who revealed to us that he had brought a Ouija board. H and I were hesitant, but decided to give it a go anyway. We set up the game, turned out all the lights, and even lit a small circle of candles around us. After asking a few questions with no response, we decided to put it away. For the rest of the night, we were all uneasy, but we didn't think much of it. We all just chalked it up to being a little uneasy from playing the game. Later that night, While I was trying to go to bed, I heard a growling near the door. I just pulled my blanket over my head and went to sleep. Moving on to the next day, my dad caught wind of last night's game, thanks to Kay. Dad actually said that he would take us to a local place known to be a tree where slaves would end their lives. Later, when darkness came, we actually went. We got out of the car and set up a game. Now, I can't remember what the name it gave us was, so I'll just say Connor. Connor said he was a slave, as expected, and said he had hung himself. We were getting a little freaked out, and H was begging for us to stop, so we said goodbye, and it wouldn't let us go though, so we swiftly packed up the board and retreated to the car. The next day was interesting. Things were constantly moving places, and a plate got shattered from falling off the counter. We got some lighter fluid and burned the board that night. Everything seemingly went back to normal after that. So I don't really know what to make of this. This happened a few years ago and I was living in a different house entirely. Me and my two friends, who I will refer to as C and B, being into the paranormal, we thought, why not try a Ouija board? So, we went to the store and bought a Ouija board, and boy, was that a mistake. We set it up on my loft bed and put our fingers on the planchette, and I asked the first question, is anyone here? And it slowly moved to yes. So, we kept asking questions until it started moving to Z and O, constantly, back and forth. As I said, we were obsessed with the paranormal, and we were immediately alarmed. If you don't know Zozo, it is supposedly a powerful demon, and we said goodbye as quick as we could. We threw the board into the closet and sat in my room, shaking and talking. Soon, we heard thumps and bangs in the attic. This naturally scared the crap out of us, and my small chihuahua named Pixie started growling and barking. We said nothing, but kept shaking and started crying. Somehow, we eventually fell asleep, and the next morning, C and B went home. To be honest, I didn't blame them. Then, one day, when C and B were over once again for a sleepover, we decided to try the board again for whatever reason. This time, it went straight to Z and O. We tried to keep going, but the sound of a growl in the closet caused us to stop. We then sped walked to the park and hid in the recycling bin. Yeah, I know, we were weird. I actually still had the board in my bag, so we pulled out the board and played. This time, the board started shaking and I felt nauseous. My friends started shaking me and yelling for me to get up. I was eventually awake enough to say goodbye, and we then just sat there shaking, and I threw up in the actual garbage can. For the next few months, strange things continued to happen to me and in my house. Soon enough, I got a cat named Harper, and at night she would hiss towards the door and wrap herself around me. One night, I was sitting on the couch below my loft bed, and Harper was sitting on my shoulder, when a toy that was on the dresser in front of me suddenly fell off. I should mention this toy was not on the edge or anything. Harper started hissing, and her hair raised, her claws bared as there was what sounded like whispering. I remember the whispering saying, "Play with us." I screamed, scooped up Harper in my arms, and ran out of the room. I sat trembling on the couch, sobbing into my cat's fur while Pixie tried to comfort me while licking my wrist. Things like this kept happening until we moved out, and now, me and my friend B are planning on setting up a paranormal exploration channel. Sometimes I think to myself, though, do I really want that? I honestly don't know. This is going to be a long one, because it's two separate stories rolled into one. Me and my boyfriend were 19 as of 2019. Boyfriend's little sister and friends are 14 to 16 as of 2019. Anyway, Rewind to about 2017. My boyfriend's little sister was having some sort of get-together. I and my boyfriend showed up to this place around midnight after doing our own thing. His little sister, we will call Ray, was playing the Ouija board with a bunch of her friends. And they were all freaking out for whatever reason. I was bored, so I figured I'd join in. As soon as I joined, we all started getting phone calls from an anonymous number. The planchette was moving, but I had a hard time believing someone wasn't pushing it. I found the phone calls weird because I didn't know any of these kids, so there was no way that they could have possibly shared a phone number with all of these people. I thought about the mom and my boyfriend, so I grabbed their phones and put them in front of me, and it kept happening. Their phones actually got calls too. Sometimes, it would be one person, and other times there were as many as three of us who would get the calls at the same time. When we would answer them, it would just be static for a few seconds and then it would hang itself up. This continued happening until we finished with the board. A few weeks later, I had pretty much forgotten about this entire incident. Me, my boyfriend, and a few of his friends all decided to take a late night walk, probably around 2 a.m., to the cemetery near my boyfriend's house. As soon as we entered the cemetery, we started getting the no-caller ID phone calls once again. All of us thought this was strange. It was even more strange because no one, not a soul, knew we were going to the cemetery outside of the group of friends that were there. And my boyfriend's friends weren't present when we had done the board, so they would have no idea about these phone calls. The calls would continue until we left the cemetery. That was it for the calls, until just recently, starting about 2 weeks ago. Ray had two of her friends over, and I was there just waiting for my boyfriend to get out of work. So we all decided to try the board again. We kept getting this Zozo and Mama thing, and the girls would freak out and make us say goodbye every time those names appeared. They said it was a demon or something. I still don't quite believe the planchette moved on its own, if I'm honest. But anyway, we ended up contacting this heartbroken spirit named Daryl, and we talked to him for a while. He seemed intelligent and knew some things the girls wouldn't know, so that was strange. The entire time that we were playing, though, we were still getting those odd calls. Even the home phone went off and no one had that number. We did this a few times over the spring break, speaking to this Daryl thing each time. As we did this, we continued getting the phone calls each time. This changed over time when the calls started happening on their own and all the time. They would happen on my boyfriend's phone at 7 a.m. and he never played the Ouija board. All of us girls would get them at the same time every day for days. Sometimes one of us would get them non-stop for minutes. We would ignore them and they would just keep coming, all the time, and out of the blue. Especially when two or more of us who had played were in the same room. This made us very paranoid. So here's where the second part becomes relevant. Ever since the second to last time playing the board, I've had really disturbing thoughts right before bed. I can't explain how it really is. It's like mini horror movies playing out vividly in my head, every time I try to sleep. For instance, have you ever seen those creepy videos where it's a bunch of disturbing little clips put together over some, like, unnerving music? Kind of like the video from The Ring, but some have commentary. It's just the strangest thing. I've been having to play music to fall asleep, so I can sing to the lyrics in my head to keep those images out. Any advice on what to do here? I have never been superstitious or believed in ghosts before. I'm not religious either, so I don't think a cleansing or anything would help. Is there a possibility there's something wrong with me? The paranoia thing. I never have these images while awake, and the calls I just cannot explain. They are just so strange. I don't even have Ray's number, so I have no idea how someone could have all of these 14 to 16 year olds' numbers that I have never heard, and mine, my boyfriend's, their mother's, and the home phone. If anybody has any idea what could be happening, please let me know in the comments down below.
So I've been a little
scared on sharing this story. My dad told me this story on a long car ride, and it's been on my mind ever since. I just can't stop thinking about it. So this happened to my dad's cousin, and my dad and him were around the same age at the time. He was 14 and my dad was probably 13. They lived in a really bad area where gang activity was extremely frequent. So I guess let's get to the Ouija board parts. I'm just going to call my dad's cousin my uncle, since that's what our family does out of respect. My dad was really close to his cousin, and he even thought he was a bit crazy at times. My uncle would play the Ouija board every single day by himself in his room, with the door locked. He always asked my dad and others to play with him, but everyone always rejected his terrifying offer. He always said he played it just for fun, but my dad said that he was basically addicted to it. One day, my uncle's dad found him in his room with a mouthful of foam and having an inhuman behavior, like probably some sort of seizure maybe, I don't know. He had a very deep voice, what you would see in horror movies. His dad was scared to even touch him, but he had to pin him down somehow, he was rabid almost. His parents took him to a priest and that was that. A few days later, my uncle tells my dad and his friends what had happened while playing the Ouija board. It said the number 14, and he asked when he would die. My uncle told him that it might be the amount of time he has to live. Whether it was a matter of 14 days or 14 years or maybe even his age 14, but no one believed him. My dad thought he was just acting stupid. Days later, my uncle was shot by a gang member and killed. My dad eventually remembered while talking to his friends that the board told him 14, and he died at the age of 14. Coincidence or not, nobody wanted to accept the fact that the Ouija board might have predicted his death. Rest in peace, uncle, that I never got to meet. I don't have any personal Ouija board stories, but I do have some that my friends have. I have never played with one because I've always been warned not to. However, I have two close friends who shared their experiences with me. So, here they are. One of my friends owns a bunch of property and has some trailers for camping. His two brothers and cousins were playing with one in a trailer when they were kids one night. Supposedly, one of his brothers or cousins started acting weird and started to growl and foam out the mouth in a trance or possession for several minutes. After a couple of moments, the groups bolted out of the trailer to get help. My friend's mother came to the trailer to see what was happening. The kid, I'm pretty sure he said it was his cousin, was completely passed out at this point. His mother threw the Ouija board in the fire the next day, which I've heard is probably not the best way to get rid of these things. A few years later, when my friend was a teenager, he was back cleaning out the trailer and claims he found that same exact Ouija board. He told me this in front of his mother, who confirmed she had burnt it. She was visibly upset while my friend told me about this one time while we sat around the campfire. Now, I'm skeptical and could chalk this up to his cousin having a seizure and having multiple boards without remembering. I do believe his story, though. I don't know him or his mother to really be people who make up stuff. The other story, another friend told me, about 5 or 6 years ago, his siblings and spouses, who were all well into their 20s and 30s, were playing a Ouija board. I think they said they were playing it on Thanksgiving, but I could be wrong. But that's not really important. They had a little activity while asking some questions, but nothing really strange. They all went out to the garage to smoke some weed, then they came back to the Ouija board. What was odd, though, is the Ouija board was upside down, and they could not find the planchette anywhere. My friend told me that they signed off the board before they went out. Supposedly, they found the planchette under some mail that was on the table. The piece of mail it was hidden under was a flyer that had the words, "Hello, occupants." Now, this could be one of the group messing with them. However, my friend does not see how or why they wouldn't fess up when everyone was getting upset. Also, I don't either. I don't know if there were any pets, mainly cats, that would have been able to knock it around, but very strange experiences nonetheless. Okay, so I'm still very much skeptical, despite what happened to me when I was 16 years old. Maybe being skeptical was my way of coping, but I'm convinced that what happened that night isn't right, although I've never experienced anything outside of this event at all. So, I was quite social when I was a teenager, and I'd always stay over at friends' houses with multiple people. It got a little wild as we started drinking and smoking weed around this time, so we'd experiment with things and try to get thrills in new ways. One of those ways was trying a Ouija board. My friends were always convinced prior to this that there were paranormal activity in this person's house. I was one of the few skeptical ones. It's strange because they always felt like I was disliked by whatever it was. They always said that they never experienced anything unusual when I wasn't there. So yeah, I had a couple of drinks, smoked some weed, and sat down around the kitchen table and set up a Ouija board. It was a glass table, so there couldn't have been any trickery apart from people messing with me by moving it intentionally. Nothing happened originally when they were trying it out. Despite being skeptical, I was honestly nervous, probably because I was high. In the end, I joined in, and nothing happened again. So I asked a question, "Is anyone there?" The cup moved to yes. I, of course, thought all of my friends were joking, despite the fact that they all looked very scared all of a sudden. I confronted my friends and told them I'd never speak to them again if they were messing with me. They all swore to me on their lives that they weren't doing anything. They continued to ask questions and nothing would happen. So I asked, "Do you want to talk to us?" And again, it moved to yes. The same, "Are you guys messing with me?" situation occurred. They were still adamant that they weren't. They asked questions, and again got no response and nothing would happen. This time I thought I'd ask something other than a yes or no question, and asked, "Who do you want to speak with?" And it hovered over the same three letters that spell out my name. At this point, I was starting to get scared. One of my friends dropped out, and two others started crying, and my best friend, whose house it was shaking beyond belief. I believe them at this point. I can later confirm I'm still friends with these people, and they're all adamant they didn't do anything. They still swear on their lives, and many of them still have nightmares about the night to this day. And none of them slept that night because they were all so scared. In fact, two of them walked home together and refused to stay. So, next I asked, "Are you upset with me?" Nothing happened this time, and for some reason, that concerned me more than a possible yes. So, I said to my friends, whilst we had our hands on the cup still, apart from the two who dropped out, "It was one of those two messing with me." As I finished the sentence, the cup flew off the table, pounding my stomach and falling onto my lap with a crazy amount of force. Force of which couldn't have been from someone on the table without it being evident, at least. We went upstairs at this point. Two people left and the rest of us watched cartoons and tried to take our minds off of it. A few months later, I stayed over with my friends again. We were in his conservatory, which is the only downstairs part of the house alongside the kitchen. We were sat on the sofas, watching TV and smoking weed. I'd smoked for years at this point and never had issues with it. We smoked about 10 pounds worth that night, which is really nothing. I started to feel sick and stood up to go to the kitchen and get a glass of water. And as I walked past the very same table, I collapsed, blacked out, and fell on a mop bucket full of dirty water with my head, cutting my lip open and breaking the bucket, flooding the floor with dirty water. Apparently, I was down for 30 seconds, and I remember being propped up against a kitchen stool while all my friends surrounding me were trying to comfort me. I turned freezing cold and started shaking. I told them that I heard something before it happened when I first stood up, but I thought it was just the TV or something until I thought about it. I heard, "Leave," in such a weird tone, and my friends instantly drew back to the events of the Ouija board. I haven't gone around to his house again because I fear for my life. I fear about what might happen next, and so long as my friend who lives there doesn't get trouble then, it's unfair to me to bring that energy back around him and my friends. I've never experienced these problems anywhere else though, but I'm convinced there's something there, and I know for whatever reason it doesn't like me. I've thought about it all these years, and I still don't have an idea why. If any of you may know why, please comment down below and let us know. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true Ouija board stories. I don't know about you guys, but I won't be messing with any Ouija boards anytime soon. I don't be messing with them ghosts or demons. They'd be catching these hands if they come into my house anytime soon. If you guys enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new people. If you haven't yet, why not join the swamp and hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video? I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a Ouija board story or something completely different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. If you guys aren't aware, I do have merch for sale. You can find that in the description as well. You can also find links to my podcast, which is on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much every major podcasting platform that you can find on the internet. You can download the stories and bring them wherever you want. I think it's a good, useful thing to have. And be sure to please leave me some reviews on iTunes if you haven't yet. It really helps the podcast a lot when we get more reviews. Anyways, I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.